Welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become influential leaders. I am so excited Nick asked me to host the Relevant Leader Monthly this month because of who is sitting next to me, Mr. Aaron Davis. Aaron, what's up, brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You and your team, you guys are amazing, man. Really, I've just been blown away.
Well, appreciate it, bro. We were humbled to and honored to have you as our keynote speaker for the Elkhorn Leadership Breakfast earlier this month. As a reminder, that's just an event we put on for leaders in our community. Mm-hmm. For those of you who weren't at that or don't know who Aaron is, he is a national championship with the Huskers in 94. He's a businessman, author, entrepreneur, and he's gained national recognition as being an expert on attitude as a keynote speaker. More importantly, Aaron has been my friend for, 25 years, I think. We've known each other.
Yeah.
Man, I'm super, super pumped to have you here on the Relevant Leader Monthly. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about because I believe it's so beneficial for us as leaders. But first, Aaron, just tell us a little bit about yourself, just about your family, growing up, where you're currently at in life. Just love to know a little bit more about you.
Well, when I think about, I'm going to say this, every time I have the song come on my playlist, Let Me Clear My Throat, I think about you and our campus life days when you'd have Lincoln High Gym rocking with that song.
The best. Yeah, because you and I, that's how we met in the late 90s. Yes. We were both working for Campus Life in Lincoln together. So
you taught me a lot even at that, man, just to how to be a part of your audience. Don't be where you're at, be where they're at. Mm. And that's one thing that I still remember how you showed me that too, to where I see you have those gyms just rocking, man.
Wow.
I can still see the auditorium at Lincoln High rocking with that. But so I appreciate you, brother. Love you, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Now, man, you think about that, it's been 25 years ago, and married, beautiful wife, Brooke, three kids, Aiden is 25, Keenan's 23, and Naya's 19. So it goes fast, brother. It goes quick. So enjoying the family thing and where they're at. Still doing the speaking, which has been crazy. It's been a blessing to see how much it continues to grow and expand. Obviously, COVID was rough because there was a lot of Zooms. There was no traveling going on there.
Right.
So that was that definitely tested me mentally, spiritually. I mean, just that was huge.
Yeah.
From a mental standpoint, a stress standpoint. But, post-sentence, things have been busy. Things have been good. 90% of the audiences are, corporate audiences, but still do some colleges and high schools. In fact, we're just in St. Paul, Nebraska. 2 days ago, speaking for a high school.
That's cool.
And so I'll always keep that in the mix.
Yeah.
Because it's a blast doing those, very impressionable audience.
Yeah.
But I love what I'm doing, man.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. If you can help someone that's hurting, if you can help someone think differently.
Yep.
If you can encourage someone, I think that's the biggest thing, just encouraging people, man. Yep. My dad, God rest his soul, he encouraged people.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do is encourage people. Man, and quick little story, man, and I don't share this with a lot of people at all. I think Nye knows this, but...
And Nye is your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 19. Yep. She happens to be sitting in the room with us right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't know this, but the older I get, the more that I've been through, I'd say pain as a teacher, but I realize the times where I don't feel like doing it... When I was born, I didn't have a name for like a day and a half. I think I've told you, I didn't have a name for like a day and a half. My parents did not name me because they prayed about my name. And my parents told me the story behind my name about 2 years after I was into speaking already. I was well into it, helping my dad at his church at that time. She goes, "We named you Aaron because God said you would be a mouthpiece."
Hmm.
And I was like, "Really?" Because Moses had all the reasons why he couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. God, in the scripture, it says, "What about your brother Aaron?"
Yep,
he is well spoken, or he's learned of tongue. It depends on what scripture you use, what passage you use. And there's times I didn't want my name to be Aaron.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's times to where I wanted to ignore it, but when God has called you to do something, I don't care if it's in speaking, I don't care if it's in music, I don't care if it's in art. I don't care if you're the person that cleans the church, the person that turns on the church. If that's what God has called you to do, not doing it, you're not going to have peace.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, have you seen that skit with that guy, and he's like from the hood, and he gets up in like a suburban school, and he's calling roll call. Oh. He's like, hey, Ron.
Key and Peele. Yeah.
I could not see the name Aaron.
My name's Mr. Garvey. I used to teach in the Detroit urban area.
Hey, Ron. Oh, it's the
Where
best.
Is Balake?
It's so good, dude.
Blake.
So, dude, you obviously one of the things, you know, being in Husker land, you know, and so many people from Relevant love the Huskers. Mm-hmm. So, man, tell us about your experience playing with the team and playing for one person that people consider a phenomenal leader,
yeah.
Coach Osborne.
You know what? Ronnie, that was a dream come true. I remember as a kid, you know, we grew up just a few miles from the stadium, 1305 North 25th, man. Mm. When Nebraska would score, we'd be in the backyard playing, and you would just hear,
yeah, you can hear the stadium,
go,
yeah.
Big red. And when you could let the balloons, if the wind blew just right, you'd see maybe a stray balloon, you know, go over the house. And that was a dream for me to come true. And I wasn't one of those, you know, you know, five stars or anything like that. I was a kid that decided I didn't want to go to K-State. I got offered there, Iowa State, Air Force Academy. So when I had the opportunity to walk on Nebraska, I was like, oh, yeah, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
It was a dream come true. I remember the first time running out of that tunnel in front of 76,000 and Coach Osborne leading us. That was a dream that came true. And a lot of the teammates became lifelong friends. We shared wins together, loss together. We shared life together. You know, bumps, bruises, et cetera, and the lessons you learn. And it goes with you for a lifetime.
Yep.
You know, the influence goes with your lifetime. Whether you adhere to it or not, you still can't say that you weren't around it.
Right, yeah.
You know, you look in the scriptures like Moses, when he came back down, his face was glowing. You can tell who he was with.
That's right.
And I'm not saying, obviously, that's Coach Osborne, but you can tell we were around them, though, because the influence that we were had a chance to be a part of and around. I mean, championships, man, packed out stadiums. Some consider still some of the best college football teams in the history of college football. We did something before Alabama was even doing it. You know, before these teams today are doing it.
That's right.
Only other team that would be considered close would be Miami
right.
during their runs during those years.
Yep.
You know, so it was a lot of fun. And as you get older, I'll never forget this, Ronnie. There's something that Coach Osborne said to us in the locker room. After one in 94, he goes, guys, the older you get, the more you're going to appreciate what you did here tonight. Because at that time, we're just thinking, man, we're going to party in South Beach.
Right.
You know, the only thing we were thinking about is a bunch of 19, 20-year-olds. But he goes, the older you get, the more you're going to appreciate what you did here tonight.
Hmm.
And he's spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, as we're older, we're like, yeah, that was pretty special, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
To do that.
That's so
but
cool.
But that's leadership.
Yeah.
That's leadership.
Yeah. So, you know, this podcast that we call the Relevant Leader Monthly is really for the group and team leaders who are part of Relevant. Mm-hmm. And we talk about all the time that leadership is influence. Like, if you were to narrow down to what leadership is all about, it's having influence and hopefully mm-hmm. positive influence. Well, we know that a leader's attitude is going to impact their influence.
Right.
It's going to impact the people, their influence either positively or negatively. And you talk a lot about, and you share a lot about what you call the attitude of a champion.
Hmm.
So tell us about the attitude of a champion. Like, what does that mean to have an attitude of a champion?
When you think about champions, they do certain things. They do things different. And the thing about champions that separates them, I think, different than anybody else, champions do the things that others don't.
Yep.
And they do it consistently. And one of the big, and I shared that on stage tonight, one of the biggest things that separates championship teams, I mean, you look at good, you know, Collins wrote a book years ago, Good to Great.
Good to Great, yeah.
And it's a great read.
It's a great read. Not a good one, it's a great one.
Yeah. Exactly. Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
But Good to Great, there's a lot of good teams out there, but the great ones, one of the biggest things that separates them, because good and great teams both have a lot of talent.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of church leadership teams that have a lot of talent.
Right.
So they're good. What makes Relevant great? It's the little things you do.
Yep.
That good teams don't do. Great teams do everything great.
Yep.
Now, great, you could say, well, okay, well, that's objective. You know, what do you mean? I mean, that's subjective. What do you mean by great? It's their definition of great. Because relevant's definition of great may be different to the churches down the street.
Or that's right.
But the things that you consider great, that you hold sacred, you do those things great. For instance, at Nebraska, blocking was an integral part of our success. Because, you know, we weren't a passing team. We were a running team.
Yep.
We practiced blocking for hours.
Yep.
And it brings me to another point. Because blocking was so important to us, that's why people hear about the pipeline all the time, which you should. Those guys are amazing. The great running backs, the Lawrence Phillips, the Amon Greens, the Clinton Childs, the Doug DuBose, the Rozieres. And those guys are great. But there's a reason why when they hit the corner, a lot of times there was nothing but daylight, because the receivers and the tight ends, we were mowing guys down like grass.
Yep.
We were just chopping them down.
Yep.
And we practiced that for hours. So the things that we considered great, the things that we considered essential, so the things that you consider essential here at Relevant Church, regardless if that's greeters in the door, which you guys do a heck of a job. I noticed it this morning. I mean, there was a vibe that was sent right away. That's important to you. The lighting out in the parking lot, the cleanliness of the parking lot. See, I notice, and people notice things like that all the time.
Yep.
So those things that you consider sacred, you do them great.
Yep.
So blocking, we did great. Now, to good teams, those things seem boring.
Yep.
There's something that Bezos, I believe it was Jeff Bezos that was credited with that, the founder of Amazon. He goes, in order to be exceptional, you must be willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
To be great at something,
yep.
You must be willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time. People say, well, Relevant, why are you guys focused on if the coffee is fresh? Why are you focused on if you have these business leaders come in? I shouldn't be worried about that. No, you understand that go out and get others. You do it in different methodologies. And that's something you guys hold sacred. That's one of your intangibles. That's one of your core values. We're going to do that. So you do the best at it. Another thing about great teams, the attitude of great teams, you got to be willing to be bored.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, talk more about that, man.
You got to be willing to... Blocking is terribly boring.
Yep.
There's nothing special or flashy about blocking.
Yep.
You must get bored with redundancy over and over and over. So we would block over and over and over. The beauty is when you see in a game, when the running back springs it for 70 yards for a touchdown, you see where the boredom begins to pay off.
Yep.
Those things that you hold sacred, even on your wall, your core values right there, you must get bored, almost to the point you get bored doing those things because you do it over and over and over.
Yeah, and just be okay with the board.
And be okay, though.
Yep.
You see, great teams, good teams, they want to do something else. Oh, well, this team's doing this over here. Well, this church is trying that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when you know who you are, your core values, you must get bored doing them over and over and over. And it goes in that quote by Bezos. In order to be great, you must be willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time by others.
Yep.
They're not understand. Why do you keep doing that over and over again? And then when they see the souls that come to know Christ being bored over and over and over.
Yep.
It's like the scripture says, preach the gospel in season, out of season. You do it when you don't feel like it, when you're bored, when you're tired. Great teams, great churches, great organizations, leaders understand, whether it's a children's ministry, oh my goodness, I'm about to kill this kid.
Yeah.
You know, but you keep loving that kid over and over, their parents over and over. You think about that. And I say youth ministry because of this, or young adults. Your leaders here at Relevant, you're the most consistent thing in some of those people's lives.
Yep.
They know they can depend on you every Sunday.
Yep.
Their job's inconsistent. Home life is inconsistent. Marriage may be inconsistent. Mentally, they may be inconsistent. But they know I'm going to see Susan. I'm going to see Jeff. I'm going to see Pastor Rathi. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see Corey. I'm going to see those guys every Sunday to get me going through these next 6 days. Don't forget, there's the benefits of boredom as you change lives as leaders.
Yep. Yeah. It's interesting because I don't think any person, whether it's their leading at work or at school, or they're leading here at Relevant, leading a group or a team or a ministry, I don't think anyone sets out, anyone who's truly wants to be a leader and wants to have influence, I don't think anyone sets out to go, I'd like for us to be as mediocre as we possibly can. You know, like no football coach is like, guys, listen, you know what I'm going for is 500. Like that's a win. But you just said it like it's, you know, there's difference between good and then being great. How do everyone wants that, and but how do we develop like to, how do we really get the attitude of a champion? Mm-hmm. Like, cause I think most people don't really have the attitude of a champion. They have attitude to be good. Mm-hmm. And I don't want our T-Life group leaders to be good.
Yeah.
I'd have good groups or good teams. I want to be great teams. So how do we, but it's a different type of attitude to get there. And I know you just mentioned like, yeah, you gotta be okay being bored, but like, man, if you go, man, here's what separates, like, how do we develop that attitude of champion? Mm-hmm. Great, not just good.
You know, the thing about greatness, regardless of what it is, again, I'm going to go to it, man. You got to show them the benefits, the big picture.
Yep.
If they don't see the picture.
Yep. Talking about those we're leading.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The people that you're leading, if they don't see the picture, it's kind of hard. If you keep telling me about a destination, but I don't see the pictures of it. Like, for instance, you know, I use Naya for an example, you know, going to Rome. I've never been to Rome. If she was just telling us about it, like, yeah, that's cool. But when she showed us the pictures of it, it was, yep, like, wow.
Right.
Show them the pictures of someone coming to know Christ because of them, because of the work, obviously because of Christ, but because of the work they put in. Show them a changed person's life at the end of it. Remind them of the work, what they're doing.
Yep.
If they only see the daily doldrums of it, you know, their heads, because we say to society, just keep your head down. We always say that. No, there's times when you lift our heads up and look at where we're going.
Right.
Look at the picture. So, and champions, think about attitude of champions. Champions remind themselves every day of the ring.
Yep.
And if they don't got one yet, they remind themselves that's still the goal. And if you got one, you want another one.
Right.
Because once you taste it, you want to develop almost like a shark. Once you taste that blood in the water, that success, whatever it is, like, oh, I want to experience that again.
Yep.
And you repeat those steps again. That's where the boredom, et cetera, and the discipline come in. But in order to establish that, keep showing them the big picture.
Yep.
Keep showing them the big picture over and over. And you almost reverse engineer. This is where it is. And this is how we're going to get here.
Right.
Reverse engineer. These are the steps we're going to have to take in reverse. Here, and not only that, know where you're currently at.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know where you're currently at, it's like, okay, how do we even start? Know where you're currently at and say, this is where we're at. This is where the attitude of a champion's at. These are the steps we have to take in order to get there. And yep, not only to get there, but to maintain and keep it.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, and obviously putting the why out in front of any other leader or anybody you're leading starts with, like, do you know the why? Do you, yes, know the vision? Do you? And man, I just think so many times leaders, we just don't know. We don't have the vision in our own mind.
No.
Or we forget it, or we focus too much on the what's and the how's, and we just forget the why, like, behind all, right, of this and the, really what it looks like to ultimately win. And, and you know, when it comes to obviously people's life and the church and, you know, what does it look like to win in God's kingdom and transformation in people's, mm-hmm, life? And that's what we're going for. We're not just here. Who cares about just having a group of people that have good community? You know what I mean? Like, we want to see people's lives transform, absolutely, and then become like Christ and, you know, usher in God's kingdom. And like, that's the big thing. And like, man, that's what we want to win at.
And you know what? Ronnie, here's one thing I've been thinking about a lot, man. Through all the stuff I've been going through, the grief, the pain, the anger, the failures. At the end of the day, and not at the end of the day, at the end of my life, when I say show the big picture, our big goal should be for Christ to greet us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yep.
Not perfect servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yep.
Bumps, bruises, scars, mishaps, etc. Well done. The ultimate goal for leaders is be able to say, and to lead as many people as they possibly can,
yep,
to that same final outcome. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yep.
Think about Christ on the cross. It is finished.
Yep.
I mean, how awesome is that?
Yep.
Not that, oh man, I almost got it. It is finished.
Yep.
Oh man, I was close. It is finished.
Yep.
That's the ultimate goal. And you know, Ronnie, I can find myself, and it's easy to do in this society of social media, and there's, you know, when we were growing up, man, I'm not sure how old you are, but me and Ronnie's age, and I'm older than Ronnie, because Ronnie, I'm 49, what are you, 40?
44. About ready to turn 44.
44. Yeah. You know, TV was off at midnight.
Yep.
But I mean, like, it was off. There was an American flag that came on. TV was over.
Couldn't watch anything.
Yeah, it was done. And we had three channels.
Yep.
You know? Now there's thousands of channels, all these things. And if we're not careful, we can find, I can find myself, I can't speak for anyone else, thinking all these other things are significant when they're not.
Right.
At the end of the day, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yep.
That's, and I have to remind myself, just like we have to remind our leaders, what's the ultimate goal of leading others? Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yep.
I complicate it. And Christ was very, I mean, it's very, it's easy, but it's simple, but it's not easy.
Yep.
It's very simple, but it's not, it's hard as heck.
Right.
It's not easy. I want to get to the point where I'm like Christ and just say, it's finished.
Yep.
My work here is done.
Yep.
I think if we can remind our leaders of the ultimate picture on a daily basis, no matter what they're going through, because even with the cancer deal, if God was to take me, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality I got. And I'm cancer-free now. I'm just going to keep climbing. I'm going to remain that way.
Yep.
And even if it does, and you think about this, man. I'm going to say this real quick. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, our God is well able to deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the key part. But even if he doesn't.
That's right.
It's not because he isn't able.
Yep.
That's the mentality I'm trying to develop in my mind right now. We have to develop with our leaders. Even if things don't turn out the way we want them to or the way we thought they should, even if God doesn't do what we thought he should have done, it's not because he wasn't able.
Yep.
Because he's going a different direction.
Yep.
We have to be okay with that. Because at times we're trying to hit that that greatness. There'll be bounces and there'll be bumps in the road. But it's like, okay, that didn't turn out the way we thought it was going to, but God is still moving though.
Yep.
And we can't get caught up with that. We can sometimes get caught up too much in the lion's den ourselves. I mean, in the fiery furnace ourselves. And we let all these different things that deal with ministry get in our way. No, even if he doesn't change this thing, we're still going to be just all right.
Yep.
I have to remind myself of that
too. Yeah, no, that's good. You know, when you said a couple things that just remind, like, I love that you talked about the well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. You know, two things I just keep talking about all the time. Like, if you're going to, like, truly, the two things that have to define your attitude if you're going to be a leader who wins, you know, a champion leader, is you've got to do the small things faithfully.
Yes.
You've got to be faithful with the small things. Because if you don't, it just kills your credibility as a leader, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And the being faithful with the small things, even like you were talking about, like just you, blocking. Like if you don't do if you aren't faithful with the little things that seem unimportant, you can never win.
That's right.
Like everyone who wins at anything is faithful with the small things.
That's right.
And then I really do believe this. I think another thing when it comes to be like having an attitude, like what's the attitude of a champion leader? It's leaving things better than the way you found it.
Yes.
I mean, bro, and you know this because you know you work out. There is nothing that will spin me into a dimension of ticked off more than when I go to the gym and weights are not where they're supposed to be, man. And people left their stuff racked up, and you know they have quarters in front of tens, and they got the plates all in a row. It's like, dude, like leave it better than the way you found
That's
it.
Right.
And so even the people that, you know, your company and your group and your team, like whatever it is, like when you end up leaving there, because someone else is going to lead that group someday. Someone else is going to lead that company someday. Is it better than the way you stinking found it?
Right.
Like you got to have that attitude. Is today, did I leave people today better than the way I found them this morning? You know, like.
Absolutely.
I think that's so you mentioned your cancer, Aaron.
Yeah.
So tell that story. You recently battled with cancer and tell the story just about that, what your battle was like and what your mindset was through it of like how to maintain what you're trying to do to maintain an attitude, what attitude of a champion you were trying to maintain during that.
Well, I tell you what, I was diagnosed May 3rd of 2021. And honestly, man, I was scared as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there ain't no, I'm going to beat this right away, buddy. Yeah. I was scared.
Because it's prostate cancer.
Yeah, prostate.
And that's no joke.
No, because you don't know. It's like I said, it's more aggressive in brown and black males. They don't know why. It's more aggressive and it's more prominent. Happens more often.
And by the way, Aaron's black. I know this is an audio podcast. That would be important to point out.
As long as you all know, I am darker than the coffee I'm consuming right now.
That's so
Jesus
great.
Jesus loves little chill. He'll drink.
love it. I love it.
My man's going, this is going off the rails.
So good.
So, yeah, I mean, so yes, I am black. But it was almost like I was living, it was like an out of body experience. It really was, because even as a doctor was telling me, it didn't seem real.
Yep.
I'm like, nah, I'm dreaming. This is not happening. But, you know, it is reality. It was reality. And quite honestly, I was scared for a long time about it. And I didn't actually show it all the time, because I think as men, sometimes we keep things inside to our own demise at times.
Yep.
And I remember I had a golf trip that was planned. It was like late April. And I was supposed to get the results back on that, like that Tuesday, that Wednesday or something like that. And we had the golf trip planned, and I talked to Brooke about it. And she's like, babe, Miles would just go. She goes, it's not, and my doctor was like, hey, that's totally fine. He goes, it's not going to change
the results
or anything like that. He goes, if you feel that you want it. So went anyway, and the guys I went with knew that wasn't the thing I wanted to talk about, but there'd be times I'd be on the golf course just playing. I'm like, and it would just, and it's still to this day, it just whispers. It whispers a lot. But you got to talk back to it. But I was very scared. But I remember my mom, and I don't have my Bible in it, but my mom and dad, they were very, 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 they were deep and always in their word. I mean, they knew it. They lived it. They knew it.
Yep.
There's this piece of paper, and I got to get it to my daughter and all my kids, but it was called Healing Scriptures. And my mom, when I was in sixth grade, had a stroke. I'll never forget this. And you figure in sixth, what are you in sixth grade? What, 11 maybe? 11 years old in sixth grade?
Yeah, 11, 12, yeah.
And I remember seeing my mom in the hospital, and she couldn't move her legs, her left side, her left arm. Couldn't move her legs, but her left leg in particular. Then when she was a Madonna for a while, and she would talk to her legs. She goes, leg, we're going to move today. And there were times, I remember being in there with my dad, and the doctor's like, well, Mrs. Davis, you got to understand. She goes, you got to understand, you don't know the God I serve. He's able. Mm-hmm. And I remembered all that when I was going through my cancer, although my mom wasn't around.
I haven't talked about this before. Although my mom wasn't around, I could still, I could just hear her saying, you know what, son, you gotta talk to yourself. And she says, David encouraged himself. You remember that scripture? She said, and David encouraged himself. And how, she goes, there's gonna be times where the doctors may not understand, to where your family understands. She'd go, but God understands. She goes, you have to encourage yourself sometimes. And I remember in that, right before that surgery, man, being so nervous and just talking to myself and saying, God, I'm going to make it through this. God, you watch the hands. You prepare every hand that'll be on me. You prepare the doctor's hands. You are the great physician. And my mom would always say that. She goes, you're in the great physician's hands. And I kept that in my mind. Even the times I got down, and David encouraged himself, and David encouraged himself, and David encouraged himself. And I was so down about finding out cancer, but there's another time where David found out the child passed away. And it said, David got up, and he washed his face.
Yeah.
And there's a time you have to get up and wash your face, too.
Yep.
And I learned that from my parents through that cancer. So what I seen my mom get when I was so young, I still remember how she went to the scripture. So as your leaders, when you're going through life, whether it's cancer, a sickness, a divorce, a bad relationship, finances, you got to encourage yourself and go to the scripture. Sometimes I can find myself going to every other thing. I told you when I was going with the grief, going, like I said, somebody wants a drink, that's fine. But I was using the bottle to numb myself.
Yep.
Instead of going to God.
Right.
Instead of getting on my knees and just saying, God, I need you to help me through this.
Yep.
So the cancer battle taught me and teaching me there's nothing out there besides God that can help you get through this.
Yep.
Nothing.
Right.
It's and everything we need is right there in the scripture. And it sounds so easy, like we know that. But in this crazy world we live in makes us think it's all this other stuff when it's not, man. If we just turn to God, broken, bruised, battered, beat up. It's like the prodigal son. He's waiting for you to come home.
Yeah.
And you know what? And the thing that's so cool about that, when he's waiting for us to come back after we're tired, we're bruised, we're beaten, we're sick, the scripture says, as he was a long way off.
Yep.
Didn't say he was perfect.
Nope.
Didn't say he had it all together.
That's
this
right.
man was still a long way off. You look at our own lives, even when we have struggling with addictions or struggling with problems, Christ is still saying there, man, welcome home. Get the fatted calf. You're home.
Yep.
But so often I think, and maybe sometimes we think as leaders, we have to get ourselves together first. Well, no, you don't get well and then go to the hospital.
Right.
You go to the hospital because you're not feeling good.
Right.
You come to Christ. You come closer to God because you know we're broken and misfits and failures and losers at times.
Yep.
So that scripture is so powerful. It says, and as he was a long way off,
right,
God's arms are still wide open.
Yep.
So I got to remind myself through this cancer battle, even when I have my ups and my downs, when I'm scared, it's okay to be a long way off.
Yeah.
As long as I'm still running in the right direction.
Yep.
Falling down as you get there, bruised as you get there, just keep falling forward, man.
Yep. Yeah. You know, Aaron, we could talk forever about this, and you do talk about this nonstop, about attitude of a champion and how to be more influential in life and leadership and your family and your business. And you've written couple books and man, you put out content and I want to wrap up here, because we try to keep this, you know, this podcast within 30 minutes. But Aaron, what if you have so much great stuff out there, if any of our leaders just want to go, man, I want to hear more of what Aaron has to say, where can they go to follow you, to find your book, to get content, where can people find you, get in touch with you and find you?
If you go to aarondavis.co, aarondavis.co is the website. Again, that's aarondavis.co.co. If you go to, I'm on LinkedIn, Aaron Davis, just go to LinkedIn. Instagram is Aaron Davis Attitude Expert, Aaron Davis Attitude Expert. Facebook, Aaron Davis Presentations. So any of those platforms, you just type in Aaron Davis, you'll scroll through there. You'll eventually see me on there. I'm a black guy.
He's a black guy.
Yeah.
And what's the name? You've done two books. What's the name?
Yeah, the one is called 10 Minute Truths.
Yep.
And the other one is called Wisdom from the Man with the Mop. And that's about my dad. Wisdom from the Man with the Mop. And I'm working on another one right now as well. But that'll be out probably most likely in the spring of 2024. So working on that one too.
Yeah. And are both of those books currently on Amazon?
The 10 Minute Truths is.
10 Minute Truths. Okay.
Yes,
got
that
it.
One is.
Awesome. Aaron, before we go, I just want to say one thing to you. I thought it was a really, really cool thing. Naya, you know, this was Aaron's daughter. She came to the Elkhorn Leadership Breakfast. And afterwards, I was talking to her and she said, yeah, this is the first time I've ever heard my dad like speak in like a setting like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, I've never gone with him on a trip, you know, to hear him.
Yeah.
But this is the first time. And she goes, I think the really cool thing is that I saw that. My dad's the same guy on that stage that he is off the stage. Like, I was like, oh, that's awesome, man. So dude, good job. Thanks for being with us. And,
yeah,
and,
glad she made it.
I love you, dude, so
love
much.
You too,
and hey, as always, Relevant Leaders, make sure you follow the Relevant Leader Monthly on whatever platform that you're listening to, so you can get the notifications when the podcast is available every month. We post a new podcast the last Friday of every month. And don't forget to join us next month for another conversation to help all of us become more influential leaders. God bless you guys.